All right, everybody, welcome back. My name is Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, here on Tech Gumbo. We are excited about our show, as it is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology. We try to keep it topical, interesting, and digestible. We also want to give a shout-out to Cardinal Capital. They connect business to capital. It doesn't matter what business you're in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States to connect you to funding, no matter your organization's size, life cycle location, category, or physical location. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package that you need to help achieve your business goals. Whether you are looking to refinance your current debt, if you want to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you want to finance new equipment, perhaps you want to expand your current business or acquire another one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with the loans that they cannot do. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy and fun to work with. They're great to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, and they will be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs. So, one of the things that we like to do is that we like to occasionally take a listener question. You can send them in to us on Twitter at TechGumboShow, or you can text us at 225-255-0431. This week, our listener question, someone said, I just bought a new laptop. What do I do with my old one?
This is a great question. Hey, we're coming up on Earth Day here in a couple of days, a couple of weeks. So you recycle that old hardware.
Right. And so there's a lot of different places, there's a lot of different ways to recycle the old hardware, but it is really important that you do. You should not just throw your old electronics in the garbage. They need special recycling.
So one of the things you need to understand, all your laptops, your smartphones, your desktop computers, your monitors, your printers, they all have what's called planned obsolescence. They're only designed to work for so long. Most laptops have an expected life of about 18 months, especially if you're taking it around. If it's mobile and you're dragging it around, beating it, pounding all over the place, those things are not designed to live forever. So if you get 3, maybe 4 years out of a laptop, you've done good. And the thing that you want to do by not putting these in landfills, I mean, all of the electronics, the metals that are in these motherboards that are part of these this equipment, it's really, really bad for the environment, bad to get in the water streams. This is just not a good thing to just throw any of these kind of, you know, lithium ion batteries are just as bad as any batteries out there when you're throwing them in landfills.
Right. And they're also, a lot of these metals are rare in the first place. And so there's only so much of them in the earth. And so we need to be recycling them. Otherwise, we could end up with a problem 10, 20, 30 years from now where we just run out. And so please, you know, go to the places like Best Buy or Staples. They oftentimes will have specific centers set up to where you can bring in your old electronics and they will take them from you.
Especially if you buy something from them. When, you know, if you go buy if you buy your laptop from one of these big box stores, they a lot of times will have a recycling program set up. Now, if you're buying a computer on Saturday, you're not going to trade in your old one on Saturday. You're going to need some time to transfer files. And so, you know, if that doesn't work out for you, there are other places like the Amazon recycling program.
Right. There's also places you can call, places you can go to. The website calltorecycle.org also helps you to find locations in your area. A lot of Home Depot and Lowe's will take old batteries or cell phones.
And then there's always earth911.com. It's a nationwide clearinghouse of recycling programs of all kinds, any kind of electronics, A through Z. It just doesn't matter. They know how to put you together with the recycling resource in your community. And if that doesn't work for you, you can always call your local governments, your county and parish governments. They have offices to take care of this, equipment. Please, please, please don't put it in landfills. That's not the place for electronics to go to die.
Absolutely. So we're moving into our first major story here. And, another piece of hot news that just came out today, the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee announced that they had created a 400-page report talking about ways to start tackling big tech companies.
That's right. In the crosshairs is Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, Apple, Amazon, and Facebook. They are all just on the hot seat. And this committee, this report, which was voted along party lines, but still, this is the first such congressional review of technology that's going to say this is how we're going to start cracking down, for lack of a better term, on these monopolies.
Yeah. And there's a range of different possibilities that are on the table here. And each one of them has different levels of support. One of them is a bit more aggressive, and that's something like barring Amazon from operating a market which it also competes in. Amazon has been accused of altering the prices of the objects on its market. And so if Amazon is going to sell a certain thing, they also can't hold the marketplace where that thing is sold.
And, Amazon has also been accused of, I created my own little Amazon store and I'm selling my widgets, and Amazon sees I'm doing well with it, then Amazon starts selling these widgets directly cheaper than I can buy them. They basically cut me, the middleman, out, and that's monopolistic.
Right. That's one of the more aggressive options, is to ban those sorts of things. One of the more well-received options is just simply to increase the budget and the ability of antitrust agencies like the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission to pump some power back into them so that they can go after things with the laws that are already in place.
And, this is not the only legislation that's happening right now. In the Senate, Senator Klobuchar, she introduced a bill back in February that's strengthening the enforcers' ability to go after some of these bigger deals. They, and we've talked about it so many times, but Section 230 keeps popping its head up because it's not going to go away.
Until it goes away.
Until it is gone. And because this is, you have the political right and the political left both hate this Section 230, but for different reasons, which we've discussed in the past on the show. And it's going to be a hot button. You're going to continuously hear us bringing it up because it keeps itself in the news. And as long as it's in the news, we're going to keep you informed on what's going on with Section 230 and the government cracking down on big tech.
Absolutely. So as we move on to some big tech, Microsoft acquires Nuance, a company that specializes in natural language recognition.
Yeah, Nuance, they're the company that created the Dragon naturally speaking software that first came out in 1997. And this software, it got me in a lot of trouble back in the early 2000s. I was trying to teach it because I was using, I'll learn this. I'll get the computer to hear what I'm saying. And I said, she is my wife. And Dragon came back, said, she is a mile wide. And that was the last time I used Dragon speaking software.
Yeah, it had some improvement left to do before it got more acceptable.
Especially in our household, because I wanted to stay married to my wife and I have no desire to let some software get in the middle of my wedded bliss.
Yes. So, you know, we're 20 years from that incident, and things are a whole lot better now. It's actually a very good piece of software, and the Dragon, naturally speaking, is now the backbone to Siri, and so, you know, it shows up in a lot of places, including in a lot of hospitals.
And you know, for those who remember Microsoft's Cortana, yes, it has gotten much, much better, and you can look at a whole lot of different technologies, the technologies that Amazon used, the technologies that Google used. A lot of that was developed because of what they learned watching Dragon, naturally speaking, coming out. So it's good that you're seeing this continued development. You Microsoft plunking down, you know, $16 billion. That shows how important this is, because there's no place where this has gone more through the roof than in the healthcare industry.
Absolutely. The ability to bring intelligence to healthcare is so critical. The amount of data that exists and the ability to navigate it and to make sense of it will continue to bring better health outcomes to our patients. And that's fantastic.
So if you've gone to a doctor recently, more than likely as they're talking, you know, as you're telling them what's going on, they're sitting there at a computer typing in notes, and they're not able to spend as much time talking to you because they have to type in notes, as opposed to what the goal is them to have a microphone and they just say, they just verbally talk through everything, which is much faster to verbally talk through, so they can spend more time with you, the patient. And, you know, so that's one of the big goals, is to eliminate that doctor from taking time away from the patients.
And maybe it sits in the middle and, you know, it's listening to the doctor and the patient have a conversation, and then the doctor asks a question, the patient gives an answer, and it sits there, listens, and says, hey, you know, ask about this thing, or check for, you know, these things are the most likely possibilities that are popping up right now. And that way, in real time, it can sit there and give the doctor that better information and help that person find out what's going on with them.
Certainly, voice recognition is not just a healthcare thing. As the population of the United States is growing older, you know, arthritic fingers are having harder and harder times typing. Grandma wants to send a note to the grandkids. Grandma can use the voice recognition software to do it. And that's just a really, really good thing. This whole pandemic that we've all been going through for the past year, everyone really has learned how, you know, what the virtual world looks like. And so we're into that technology now, and we're comfortable with voice recognition using the Amazon devices and the Google devices and Siri devices and all of those things, so that, you know, it's a technology that's certainly not going to go away. This is only going to make it better.
Absolutely, and that's what we're excited about.
So another thing to get excited about, Coinbase has gone public.
So Coinbase is a digital currency exchange. So it's a market for a lot of the cryptocurrencies that are out there.
That's right. If you have Bitcoin and you want to convert your Bitcoin to dollars, you can go to Coinbase. Or if you have dollars and you want to buy Bitcoins, you go to Coinbase to buy your Bitcoins or your whichever of the cryptocurrencies you're wanting to purchase. And this company has now gone public. This is a major step for the cryptocurrency industry.
Right, because their opening valuation was near $86 billion, and it went above $100 billion. And it's floating somewhere in that area now. And that is a massive sum of money.
Yeah, this cryptocurrency is real. It's not going away. And the more legitimized it gets by having seat in the stock market. They're trading on NASDAQ, and you know, that's a legitimate business that's got that kind of money behind it. And the regulations you have to go through to be a publicly traded company, okay, you know, it's time to seriously start looking at some cryptocurrencies.
And with serious examination comes not only the good things, but also the bad things. So we've talked a lot about NFTs in the recent weeks. That's the non-fungible token. And it turns out that they are actually incredibly expensive to produce from an energy standpoint.
Yeah, so what happens is these people get out there and they're using these mining devices, and everybody's got their computer spinning to try and be, you know, the first ones to come up with the calculations to get one of these 300 pieces of digital art that this one artist had done. And they did some calculations, and it was 170 quintillion attempts to produce the opportunity to buy this NFTs.
Not just 170 quintillion attempts, 170 quintillion attempts per second. That's the wild part, is that it is one followed by 18 zeros. That number of calculations every second. And it turns out that whenever you have that many computers in the world, each doing these really complicated calculations a lot, that uses a lot of energy. To the point that, yeah, producing a single NFT is roughly the same as driving your American car 500 miles.
Think about that. 500 miles, tank and a half of gas. You know, my car, it's about, you know, $30 to fill up the tank. So that's $50 in gasoline equivalent to make one of these non-fungible tokens.
Yeah, there was a French artist who put out 6 of them. And he sat down and actually did the math afterwards and realized that the amount of energy that it took to make 6 NFTs was more energy than his studio had used in the past 2 years. And he was like, oh, wow, I did not realize how intensive this is to produce these things.
Yeah. Because of that, a lot of artists now are kind of looking back going, wait a minute. Are we creating a global warming, you know, just by creating our art?
Yeah, that's a rough thing that, you know, because you could easily put out a large number of these NFTs pretty quickly. And the amount of energy that is consumed by Bitcoin mining, you know, a few years ago, Bitcoin mining energy represented 100% of solar energy. Now, because solar energy has grown at a faster rate, it's only about 40 to 50%. But still, all these gains that we're making in the green energy sector are being swallowed just by the Bitcoin sector.
That's right. All these folks out there using their computers to try and snatch up one of these NFTs, trying to get into the blockchain that verifies that your non-fungible token is legitimate, is consuming a lot of electricity.
Yeah, it's one of those things wherever I had no idea this existed until I came across this article the other day. And NFTs were something that I was like, oh, you know, this is a fun new novelty. But it really makes you pause for a second to think about, wow, you know, driving your car for 500 miles, you know, that's a pretty big investment. Like, it's that level just to produce one of these. So that's really kind of makes you think, like, what is the future of Bitcoin, of blockchain? We really need to be thinking about these things as we implement them.
It's not just in the NFT world, but in the actual world out there, you have people who are running some of these Bitcoin or cryptocurrency markets. One of them in particular, Jesse Powell from Kraken, said, hey, look, this industry is in trouble because so many of these terrorists are using these cryptocurrencies. So many of the hackers are demanding cryptocurrencies. And all that's going to lead to is government regulation, which will shut the whole thing down.
I don't know that I would agree that it's going to shut everything down, but I do think that as government regulations come in and make things more standardized and more open and more visible, the price will drop from 60,000 maybe back down to the 30 or so that it was at the start of the year. But yeah, we are in kind of a bubble for cryptocurrencies, but they will continue to exist and they will continue to make their way into all different places.
When you have the U.S. Treasury Secretary and the president of the European Central Bank, both of these women come out and have sounded alarm saying Bitcoin is being used for money laundering, for terrorist financing, and a whole lot of other illegal activities. That's a siren call that you better be on the lookout. You better start cleaning up your house internally, because if not, these governments are going to come in and clean your house for you. And that's not going to be fun.
Absolutely. But we hope that listening to Tech Gumbo was fun. And you can hear us on Talk 173 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous versions, you can check out our podcast available on almost every platform, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Player FM, and more.
And if you like our show, if you have any suggestions, we're on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. When you're on Twitter, give us a follow. When you're on Facebook, give us a like. You can also send us a text, 225-255-0431. Let us know what you think. Give us some suggestions. We'd love your feedback. And we want to thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.